That's good. Anyway, welcome to church today. You know, it's been an interesting time, and if you look out right now, quickly, you'll see the sun! Woo! Right? It's kind of been interesting. We've had kind of a very strange spring, but I do like this time of year. Again, the reason why I like this time of year is because everything is changing and everything is crisp. How many people have opened the windows in the house already? Right? And it kind of aired that bad boy out and kind of had one of those moments. It's kind of neat. Even on the bike, this is kind of interesting. I don't do it often because we live in a region where I can't. But during this change of season, it's a time when I can drive without goggles because there's no bugs, right? And so I've been driving without my goggles, and it's been feeling fresh, and it's been feeling good. And here's the other thing. Look at this. Oh, this is the newest picture. That's my rhubarb. That's been like 8 years coming, and finally it's taken over my backyard, and I'm quite excited about it. So I'm dreaming, like I'm serious. Like I'm watching the hockey game the other night and checking on things, and then we went to a fight, and I'm watching the fight, and I'm thinking of rhubarb crisp. Like that's crazy, man. There, I got an issue, I got a problem, but I'm so excited about this time of year. And it has been interesting, even this past week, I've been watching how the trees have been budding. And the plants have been coming out. And so I've been saying, you know what, this is an incredible time of year. It's a time of renewal, and you know what? We see the whole earth coming back to life, and I was thinking, what a beautiful time for us to have a reminder of the spirit things. That, you know what, in our spirit lives, God is waiting to make things new, and it's a reminder that this can be a season of growth for you and for I, but let's face it, winter is hard, right? And for some of you, you know this more than others, but in our hemisphere, there's a real deal called SADS, which is season affective disorder. And it's because we are situated where we are. We don't get enough sun, scientists will tell us. And so it's kind of interesting. I tell people all the time, don't be afraid to buy a sun lamp in our region. Don't be afraid to sit in front of that for 10 minutes a couple of times a week. Don't be afraid to take some vitamin B and some vitamin D and fight the winter blues. How many of you felt the winter blues? Anybody? I mean, it's a real deal. It's a real thing. And it's kind of interesting. So a lot of times, I think it's amazing. There's people that I encourage all winter long in our community, not just in our church. And I'm saying, if you can just make it a little longer, right? And these are the days that I've been talking about. The days in which we feel the warmth of the sun. The days in which we feel like we can get out and do things because the sun stays in the sky a little longer. That we're getting out the fire pits. We're getting the s'mores ready. For those of you who put your barbecues away, you silly folks, you're bringing them out again. I barbecue all year long, right? It's just in my garage. People say, your garage is on fire. I say, no, I'm just barbecuing, right? My neighbors always tell them that's what's happening, right? But this is the season that we've been looking forward to. But we've been missing things like walks, right? It's kind of interesting. My oldest hound has been running around like a little puppy all because Ella has been taking her for walks all this past month, and it's been kind of neat. She's been running around. I think that's kind of interesting. Now, not just my oldest hound is getting excited about walks, but my son has decided that he wants to be in better shape, so he's been running. Some of you know that's going to kill me, right? Because he doesn't like to run alone. So I'm like, Allison, she just shakes her head, right? And so I put on my shoes and I go, dear Lord, keep me from another heart attack. Let's go, right? But for some of us, you know, it may be tea, it may be coffee on the deck, it may be some of those adventures as we shake off the winter blues and we jump back into life, right? Ethan's been talking about all the fishing, right? Even this morning, he was talking about some of the fishing that he's been doing. And we're getting back to living, and that's amazing. Because spring is a time of renewal, and you know what? I want that to be true of our spirit as well. That in this season, even coming out of the winter blues, that I want to challenge us as a church to dive a little deeper and to take this deep breath and to jump into living again. And it's not just the physical, but it's very much the spiritual, right? It's interesting because, again, there's times when, and I've noticed this, you know, in New Brunswick it's the same. It's kind of interesting to me. When I moved to the East Coast, we do have a tilt that's a little different. Again, fighting depression, and we don't want to talk about it. Why? Because then you sound like you're weak, right? Fighting the blues, it's a very real thing. And you know what? In this changing of season, if you have been having a hard winter and you have been struggling, even in your spirituality, because you do understand it's more than just physical, my prayer is that as we start this series, is that you will feel that rebirth that you were made to feel. And we're going to be reading in Colossians 3. And so it's verses 1 to 17. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read the whole thing today, and then I'm going to just break it down into different chunks in the weeks that are ahead. But I think that this is such a fascinating piece of Scripture. Starting to read chapter 3, verse 1 of Colossians, it says this. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now listen, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Again, this passage amazes me. And it's one of those ones that, seriously, if I wanted to take a year, I'm sure that we could break it down and we could spend a year on this one section. And I love it so much. And now, again, I'm not going to do that to you because I still feel guilty of taking so long in Philippians. All right? Some of you are going, oh, here we go. No, we're going to work through this pretty quickly. But it's one of those passages that I hope that you will read in the weeks that are to coming, so that you can have some of this knowledge and this challenge within you, right? This passage really is about Christ, and it's kind of interesting. Paul is the author, and you guys guessed it. Where is he when he's writing it? Again, he's in prison. He did so much of his writing in prison, and it's kind of interesting. He had been given this word that the church in Colossae was struggling, and what were they struggling with? It was a brand new church. It was growing, but there was heresy. And what is heresy? Well, heresy is this teaching about Christ that's really not on point, right? It's dangerous, again, if it's not dealt with. And so Paul is sitting here in a prison, and he hears of some of this false teaching, and he has to deal with it right away. So Paul writes as soon as he gets word so he can correct this bad theology before it takes root. And so Paul writes, And he wants this as a healthy understanding. Think about this. He writes first in this passage about who Christ is. Now, again, you know what, church? If I could say anything over the course of these next few weeks, if you can get a better understanding of who Christ is, that will be a game changer in your life. It will be a game changer in your life. Because if you understand who Christ is, the second part Paul talks about is it'll change how you live and act. It's this reality that if we could understand who Christ is, then the second part of that is it'll impact the life of you as a believer. It's this cause and effect thing, right? If Jesus is the cause, then Paul tries to outline the effect that it'll have on your life. And it's amazing to me because I can tell you in 10 minutes after meeting somebody, usually I have this sense if they're a believer. But you know what? Once I find out they're a believer, this is kind of interesting. In moments, I can tell you if they know who Jesus is. They talk different. They have a different hope. They have a different manner, a different demeanor. They have a different confidence. And it's amazing to me that once we know who Christ is, it really does change everything. And so in this passage, what is Paul doing? He's talking about how we come alive in Christ, right? How we can be renewed, how the old us is dead and how the new us should have come, should have begun, right? And so I want to talk about verses 1 to 4 today. So let's read that again just so it's fresh in your mind. Paul says this. He says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Now, a small little passage, but he's saying a lot of things that hopefully would encourage you today if you would start to understand exactly who your Maker is and what that does to your life. Paul's making some big statements, and here they are. He says this, verse 3, for you died. What is he saying? He's saying the old you should be dead. Now, that's interesting, but that's a hard thing for us to embrace, right? That's true of you. That's true of your old nature. That's true of your spirit. That you know what? We as humans, we are designed, again, in the image of the Creator. So therefore, we are problem solvers. Therefore, because our Creator is God and God alone, there are times when your spirit wants to act like whom you were created, and you want to be God. And so what happens? What happens is your selfish old self will fight to have his or her way. And what Paul is proclaiming here right at the beginning of this whole chapter is that the old you should be dead. You know what? A lot of times in the church, in believers, in the circles in which I run, there are people who fear that because they're terrified of losing control. And Paul is saying, you should embrace that. That's a good thing. He goes on to say that, you know what? The new you should be hidden in Christ, verse 3. Paul is always clear on this point that it's not your life anymore because it's no longer you that lives. And then he goes into this third understanding that we are to set our heart on bigger things. That's verse 1 and 2. Kingdom things, things from above, and not the earthly junk that so often we get entangled in. You know, I see that time and time again, that there are those who would say, you know what? I am a Christian, I am a believer, I am free, and then they spend the rest of their days worrying about this life and the list of things that they can't control. And I ask you, where in the world is there freedom in that? It's been interesting. It's interesting to watch. It's sad to watch. But in preparing this week, it's kind of been interesting. It's been raining all month here in the Maritimes. It's kind of one of those things that we're kind of used to, right? Greg and I, we've been talking about the driveway, and we're saying, yeah, as soon as those puddles dry up, and just when we think you're getting there, then they fill again. All right? And so we've been dealing with this whole idea in the Maritimes that the rain just didn't seem to want to stop, and it's been this blah feeling to date with our spring. Right? And then finally, this midweek, it was amazing. You guys saw it too. The sun came out. What a difference it made. right? Like my lawn responded in one day. It was amazing to me. It went from gray to green. In fact, I was thinking, man, I'm going to have to cut it soon, right? If I can keep Linda and Dale from cutting their lawn, then my lawn won't look so bad. So I'm hoping that they're on the same page with me like that. Let's let it grow to about 6 inches before we cut it, right? Because I don't want to have to cut it. And you know, you always feel bad when your neighbor is cutting their lawn. Then you're going, yep, it's time. I guess I got to cut mine too, right? But the dogs, I've noticed a difference in them. I noticed the buds popping on the trees, all because the sun came out really quickly. There was a massive change. Even when we take Ella riding, we're noticing the horses are different. And I think, wow, this is amazing to me. Things are coming back to life, right? Again, this idea, and we talked about it, opening the windows in the house. Phil, I went by Phil's house. He even raked his leaves. I'm going, what in the world is going on, right? He's got bags of leaves there, and I'm saying, wow, it's really true. Spring does add a new dimension to our step, right? We're seeing things get cleaned up. We're seeing people pick up the branches that have fallen down. You found out that your neighbors are still living. Why? Because all of a sudden they emerged from their house, and you waved at them. Woo! You made it! Good you! Good job! Keep living, right? And we're finding out all of these amazing things, and it may sound silly that I'm talking this way about the end of winter. But you know what? I want to talk this way about the life that you're living. Because for some of us, let's be honest, coming out of a dark, long winter, that our spirits feel dark as well. What is Paul reminding us here in Colossians? He's reminding you that that old you should be dead. That old us should be dead. And what is that old you? It's the burdens that we feel, right? And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a tired feeling. And I'm not just talking about your body. I'm talking about it infecting the spirit, that your spirit feels tired. That there's times when we come out of seasons where we've made some mistakes, and when we were honest with ourselves, we look in the mirror, and the only person to blame is the one who's looking back. And the mistakes have driven us to a mess. And there are those seasons where, honestly, we feel so beat up in our spirit. You put on the smile because you're a good Canadian. Hey, everything's good. Playoffs are on. Go Boston. No. But I think they could win the cup. Oh, I said it aloud. Why did I do it? And what do? We put on a smile and say everything's okay. I'm asking you, church, what season are you in? Because I understand, because more than most, this is my job, that there are times when we get down. There's times when we get tired. There's times when we feel broken. There's times when we feel discouraged. There's times when we question our faith because our faith is struggling. And Tracy talked about it last week. Like, we feel like we're on the road to Emmaus. On the day of the resurrection, the power that would change the world. And two are downcast, walking away from the resurrection power. And there's times where we do that in our spirit. That life in the mess takes its toll. And Paul is writing to remind us that this old you, this tired you, this beat up you, this discouraged you, this you that feels like you just can't go on, should be dead. Because what does Christ make available? He wants you to be new. And not only new, he wants you to be fortified. He wants you to be new and then hidden within his depths. I've said this before. Where is God vulnerable? He's not. He's God. There's no sneak attack on God. God knows all, sees all, right? You can't surprise him. And so what is Jesus' purpose when we're hidden within the depths of Christ? Is that you and I would be safe. That you and I would not just be new, but we would be safe and we would be fortified. Think about this. Who is Christ? Christ is the victor. Christ is risen. We just celebrated that this Easter season, that you know what? There is nothing that our God cannot do. And Paul is reminding us that Easter doesn't stop on a weekend, that it should be our reality every day of each week. that Christ is always strong. Christ is always enough. Christ is always winning. He's always knowing. He's always having the answer. He's always full of miracles. He's always confident. And you and I are to be hidden within that kind of a life. Check to compare contrast on that. Right? The old you is dead. The rotten mess that it is. And there's times when we make a rotten mess, but you were made to be new, connected to a life that is safe and knows no end, no limits, no boundaries. If you're a believer here today, life should be your very definition if you'd only receive it. So let me ask you a real question. Do you believe that today? And you may believe it, but here's the second question. Do you feel it today? Are you presently living that victory, that newness, that renewal that Paul is talking about? And I said it's like this. It's a Christmas gift, but the only way that you can enjoy it is if you open it, right? Have you opened that gift today? Have you received it? And Paul is giving us that instruction. How in the world can we take hold of that? And once we do, then how do we maintain the grip, right? And he gives us that instruction. He says in verse 1, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. Set your mind, not just your heart, set your mind on things above as well. And the trials that are momentary, the trials that we're struggling with that have maybe taken our focus, guess what? If we would set our hearts and our minds on things above, the things that we were made for, the bigger things, the kingdom things, the eternal things, then nothing in this life would be able to hold you down as a believer in Christ. Why? Because you'd be fortified and safe in the very definition of life itself. What's wrong? Nothing that he can't handle. How are you doing? I'm doing great, even in the midst of the storm. Because even if everything blows apart today, the one who holds me, he is the solid rock, and on him I stand. Do you have that confidence? Do you feel that confidence? It echoes Paul's advice in 2 Corinthians 10:5, right? When he says, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient unto Christ. This idea that nothing in this world should be able to hold us, because this world is not our home. And if we're hidden in Christ, then our mind and our hearts will be set on things above. So what's bringing you down? If you're new, nothing. Like, that's incredible. Woo! If we would be hidden in Christ, if we would understand who he is, again, victor, risen, strong, he's enough, he's always winning and always knowing, he's still the answer, he's full of miracles, and he's always confident. Again, does that describe your present reality? Because Paul is reminding us that it can. The scripture would tell us that we're set apart from God. And you know what? Nothing, nothing, nothing can hold on to you if you're hidden in Christ. That you, think about this, your life is literally endless. Right? That again, I want to remind us as a church today that you are a child of Christ, right? A child of God, that you're his friend, that you are complete, that you are free, that you are salt and light, that you are his temple, that you can withstand all things, that you are more than a conqueror, and on and on and on I could go. And that list of who you are in Christ, you need to read it, and you need to have it, and you need to hide it, and you need to wrap your soul and your mind around it. I have some at the back, who you are in Christ. It's one of those lists that I go through all the time, because sometimes the enemy wants to lie to me because that's his job, and sometimes he wants to discourage me, and sometimes he wants to tell me that I'm less than, and the circumstances, if they're right, sometimes I may have an inkling to believe that crap. But if I know who I am in Christ, and I know who Christ is, let me tell you, there is nothing in this world that can get me down. No circumstance, no situation. Why? Because this place is not my home, and the one who holds me is bigger than it all. I don't know what Bible you're reading, Right at present, right? Because sometimes you wear them out. Sometimes you lose them. Sometimes you, if you're like me, you give away a lot of Bibles. Here you go. You can have mine. Oh, man, there were some good notes in there. Jesus, you got to bring them back to my mind, right? But in each of the Bibles that I own, you know what I've done? I've gone through that list of who I am in Christ, and I've looked every one up, even though I know them by heart. And I've highlighted them with a red pen, with a pencil, with a highlighter, whatever I have. Some of my Bibles are a mess, right? People are freaked out. They're like, man, that's truth. And I go, here you go. You can keep it. You just ripped your Bible. I'm going, you need that piece more than me. You see, I already have that piece in here and here. And I'll give you that piece of the book, hoping that someday it'll be in here and here for you as well. Who you are in Christ. Who He is. Every day should be spring, because every day should be filled with that kind of a life. You know life. Think about that. Not only were you made for life, but you know life Himself, and it's Jesus. His name is Jesus. Like the whole time when we're sitting back there and I'm trying to worship, and I'm overwhelmed. Because He loves me. And I want nothing less than the real thing. And because I desire Him, guess what? His promises are true. I'm drawing close to Him, and He draws close to me. And I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed, because I'm surrounded by, made for, I am living life. That's His gift to me. And I've received it. You sometimes say, Andrew, how in the world do you carry all the burdens of everything that you carry? I don't carry them. I'm yoked together with life Himself. He lifts everything for me. You see how free that is? Andrew, how do you not worry? They're not mine to hold. I'm hidden in Him, fortified, protected, and safe. All I do is live the life that He made me to live. Dark days don't stay in the heart of one that is lost in Christ. Withered soul can't remain. Why? Because Paul tells us the old is gone and the new has come. So set your mind on the kingdom, and you too will live the life that you were made to live. So let me ask you one more time before we close today. Is that your present reality? Because that's the life that you were made for. Whew. Like, I get crazy. I get crazy. That's why we can come against cancer in a name that is greater than our name. That is why we can walk and face death, because there is a name that is greater than our name. Everybody stand. Whew. Bow your heads. There is no guilt in this. If you are coming out of a season where you feel dark and you feel withered, I want you to know that you were made for so much more. And this needs to be a season of renewal for you. Spring renewal, where Paul is reminding you of the life that you were made to live. And there's no guilt in that. If you slipped, if you've made a mess, if you find yourself in a dark, dark hole, I want you to know. But all we got to do is receive the life that is waiting. No guilt in this. We come against the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ right now, that there is no guilt in this. That Father God, that if we've fallen behind, if we slip behind, if we're finding ourselves in a dark, depressive way, we come against all of that in the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because you are life. You are life. You are life. You are life. And we are yours. Would we be hidden deep, deep, deep within everything that is fortified in you? And would you bring perspective that no matter what is happening, no matter what our situation, no matter what our struggle, no matter what our trial, that you have already overcome. That you are the one who holds us so nothing can touch us. Oh, Father, would we live that life Fill your people with joy. Fill your people with peace. Fill your people with confidence. Fill your people with healing, a healing wind that blows through just as we open our windows in our house. Blow through our spirit, Father God. Remind us that you are very much alive. And you give it to us. You give us life. Life that the world can't understand. Life that the world can't figure out. Life that they desire. It shines bright like the stars in the heaven. Oh, Father God, let us receive that life, I pray. Even this month as we go over some of this teaching, Father God, let it wash over us. Let it change us. Let us get it right. And then let us fight to remain hidden in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys and be encouraged today. I want you to, again, if you've never gone through that, who you are in Christ, there's some free printouts back there. Just grab one, stick it in your Bible. I want to challenge you to go through the Bible that you use most first and highlight each one of those things. And most of them, again, hopefully you will know, but it's something about hiding God's word in your heart that's a beautiful thing. So God bless you and have an awesome week in the Lord.